A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He wants to talk screwdrivers. Specifically, what separates a quality driver from the budget bin kind? What types you actually need in a DIY kit? And which manufacturers are worth the money? And honestly, this is one of those topics where the gap between good and bad is enormous, but most people can't articulate why. They just know the cheap one feels wrong.
It's the tool equivalent of a bad mattress. You don't realize how bad it is until you use a good one, and then you can never go back.
That sinking feeling, when the tip twists in the screw head, and you know you've just ruined both the screw and your afternoon.
It's not your fault, it's the screwdriver's fault, which is where we're going today. But I want to pause on that mattress analogy for a second, because it's actually more precise than it sounds. A bad mattress doesn't just feel uncomfortable in the moment. You wake up with back pain the next day. You've done damage you don't immediately connect to the source. A cheap screwdriver is the same. You strip a screw head, you think, oh, I wasn't careful enough, I angled it wrong, I rushed it. You don't think, the tool failed me.
The damage compounds. You strip one screw, you get frustrated, you press harder on the next one. You strip that one too. Now you've got two problems and you're questioning your own competence.
So let's fix that. But before we get into the brands and the shopping list, let's first understand what's actually happening inside that screwdriver shaft. Because you can't make a smart purchase without understanding what you're paying for.
I think the place to start is the part you can't see. The steel itself. This is where most of the money goes, or doesn't go.
And I want to talk about three categories of steel you'll encounter in the real world. First, there's CRV, which stands for chrome vanadium. This is the baseline for anything you'd call decent. It's an alloy steel with chromium and vanadium added for hardness and wear resistance. Most mid-range screwdrivers use CRV. It's good, it's durable, it's what you'll find in sets from companies like Tecton or Williams.
Then there's S2 steel.
S2 is a step up. It's a shock-resistant tool, steel with higher carbon content, and it's specifically designed to withstand high torque without deforming. This is what you'll find in premium bits, especially for impact drivers. S2 is harder than CRV, and it holds its edge longer. Weha and Wera both use S2 in their precision bits.
What's the actual difference in carbon content? Is it a small tweak, or a significant jump?
It's significant enough to change the performance profile entirely. CRV typically has around 0.5% carbon. S2 is closer to 0.6 or 0. That extra tenth of a percent doesn't sound like much, but in metallurgy terms, it's the difference between a steel that can hold a sharp edge and one that will roll over under repeated stress. It's like the difference between a kitchen knife you sharpen twice a year and one you sharpen twice a month.
Then there's the mystery metal.
The mystery metal. This is what you get in the $3 screwdriver at the hardware store bin. It's usually unmarked, low-carbon steel. Sometimes, it's not even properly hardened. And here's the thing, low-carbon steel will deform under torque. The tip will twist, the edges will round over, and once that happens, the screwdriver is essentially a tiny metal stick that ruins everything it touches.
I've seen screwdrivers where the tip looks like a mushroom after a few hard uses.
That's exactly what happens. The metal literally flows under pressure. It's plastic deformation at a microscopic scale, and once that tip geometry is gone, you can't get it back. You can't sharpen a screwdriver tip the way you can sharpen a chisel. Well, technically you can with precision grinding equipment, but nobody does that. The tool is junk.
The steel type matters, but it's not the whole story. Heat treatment is where things get really interesting.
This is the part most people never think about. Heat treatment is what gives steel its final properties. And there's a sweet spot. If you harden a screwdriver tip too much, it becomes brittle. It'll snap under high torque instead of flexing. If it's too soft, it'll twist and deform. Quality manufacturers target a specific range on the Rockwell hardness scale.
What's the range?
For screwdrivers, you want between 50 and 58 HRC. That's Rockwell C scale, which is the standard for hard steels. Wera and Weeha typically hit around 58 to 60 HRC on their tips. PB Swiss is known for hitting 60 HRC consistently. Budget screwdrivers often fall below 45 HRC, which is why they deform so easily.
You've got two failure modes. Too hard, it snaps. Too soft, it twists.
Here's what makes the premium manufacturers different. They don't just harden the whole shaft uniformly. Some of them use differential heat treatment. The tip is hardened for wear resistance, but the shaft is left slightly softer so it can flex under torque without snapping. This is precision metallurgy, and you can't fake it with cheap manufacturing.
How do they actually achieve that? Do they heat just the tip?
Induction heating is one method. They pass the tip through a magnetic coil that heats only the very end of the shaft to the hardening temperature, then quench it. The shaft never reaches the critical temperature, so it retains its original toughness. It's a controlled process that requires expensive equipment and precise timing. A budget manufacturer just heats the whole thing in a furnace and calls it a day.
You're paying for process control, essentially.
You're paying for someone to care about what happens inside the steel at a crystalline level. And that's not marketing speak, that's real physics. The difference between martensite and austenite crystal structures determines whether your screwdriver is a precision instrument or a liability.
Which brings us to tip geometry. This is where the rubber meets the road. Or the steel meets the screw, I suppose.
There are two basic ways to make a screwdriver tip: machining and forging. A machined tip is cut from the steel blank using precision grinding equipment. The edges are sharp, the angles are exact, and the fit into a screw head is nearly perfect. Forged tips are shaped by pressing hot steel into a die. They can be good, but they can also be rounded, poorly aligned, or slightly off-spec.
That slight off-spec is everything.
It's everything. Think of it like a key and a lock. If the key is even a fraction of a millimeter too small, it'll slip. That slipping is what we call cam out. It's when the driver rides up out of the screw head under torque, and it's the primary cause of stripped screws.
Cam out is the enemy.
Cam out is absolutely the enemy. And here's a fun fact that surprises people. It's actually designed into some screws deliberately. Phillips head screws were invented with a slight taper so the drivers would cam out at a certain torque level. This was a feature on assembly lines in the 1930s to prevent over-tightening. Henry Phillips specifically designed the screw to push the driver out when the torque got too high.
Wait, so the thing we all hate about Phillips screws was intentional?
It made sense in a factory setting where you had pneumatic drivers and you needed a mechanical limit on torque to avoid snapping screw heads off. But in practice, for manual use, it just means Phillips screws strip constantly. It's a design feature that became a design flaw when the context changed.
That explains so much frustration. So, in a way, the screw is working against you from the start, and a poorly made driver just makes it worse.
Which is why tip tolerance matters so much. If the driver fits the screw head precisely, you get full engagement across the entire contact surface. You're fighting the intentional cam out design with precision.
Is there an actual standard for this?
ISO 8764 specifies the exact tip geometry for Phillips screwdrivers. The angles, the tip width, the depth of the flanks. Quality manufacturers machine their tips to meet or exceed this standard. Cheap drivers often don't. And if the tip doesn't match the standard, you get point contact instead of surface contact. All the torque concentrates on a tiny area, and that's when the stripping happens.
Let me paint a picture. You've got a $3 screwdriver from the hardware store bin, and you've got a Weera Graphorn that costs maybe $12. If you put them under a microscope, what do you actually see?
The cheap tip looks rounded, almost like it's been used for years straight out of the package. The edges aren't crisp. The tip might not even be centered on the shaft. Under magnification, you can see tool marks and rough surfaces from the forging die. The Weera tip, by contrast, looks machined to a sharp, precise edge. The flanks are smooth. The tip is symmetrical. It seats into a screw head with full contact across the entire driving surface.
That's the difference between transferring torque and wasting it.
There was a test done by Project Farm on YouTube, which is basically the gold standard for tool comparison testing. They measure torque transfer before cam out. A $50 Weeha set transferred about 40% more torque than a $10 generic set before the driver slipped. That's not a small difference. That's the difference between driving a screw and stripping it.
40% is enormous. That's not a marginal improvement. That's a completely different tool category.
Think about what that means in practice. You're driving a 3-inch screw into hardwood. With a cheap driver, you're fighting cam out the whole way, pressing harder and harder. Your hand is fatiguing, and you might still strip the head before the screw is fully seated. With a quality driver, the torque goes where it's supposed to go. The screw goes in. You move on with your life.
The steel matters. The heat treatment matters. The tip geometry matters. But now let's talk about the part you actually hold.
This is where ergonomics gets interesting. Because a screwdriver handle isn't just something to grip, it's a torque transfer interface between your hand and the fastener. And the biomechanics here are genuinely fascinating.
Of course they are.
Think about what happens when you're driving a stubborn screw. You're applying downward pressure to keep the tip seated and rotational force to turn it. Your hand is doing two things at once. A round handle is actually terrible for this. It slips in your grip, especially if your hands are sweaty or greasy. And because it's round, all the rotational force has to be generated by friction alone. Your hand is working harder than it needs to.
What's better?
Triangular or hexagonal handle profiles. They give your hand something to push against. Whereas Kraftform handle, which was patented in 2004, is shaped to match the contours of your hand. It's wider at the back where your palm makes contact, narrower at the front where your fingers grip. And the handle has these hard and soft zones. The hard zones give you structure and torque transfer. The soft zones give you grip and comfort.
This is based on actual research.
Wera claims their handle design reduces hand fatigue by up to 25% based on biomechanical studies. Fellow, another German manufacturer, uses a similar ergonomic approach with their handles. The shape is designed so your hand naturally falls into the correct position for maximum torque with minimum effort. It's like the difference between a shovel with a D handle and one with a straight pole. One works with your body, the other works against it.
You're paying for someone to have thought about how your hand works.
And it makes a real difference if you're using these tools for more than a few minutes at a time. If you're assembling furniture, or working on a car, or building a PC, hand fatigue is real. A good handle keeps you comfortable and precise. And precision matters. When your hand is tired, you make mistakes. You angle the driver wrong. You apply uneven pressure. The handle is a safety feature as much as a comfort feature.
What about magnetic tips? That seems like a feature everyone wants.
Magnetic tips are convenient. There's no question. Being able to hold a screw on the tip while you position it is useful, especially in tight spaces where you can't use your other hand. But there are trade-offs. First, magnetism can interfere with sensitive electronics. If you're working inside a computer or on a circuit board, you don't want a magnetized tool anywhere near it. Second, magnets lose their magnetism over time, especially if they're dropped or exposed to heat. Third, a strong magnet can attract metal shavings and debris, which then get ground into the screw head and accelerate wear.
What's the alternative?
Some manufacturers like Weha use a system where a spring-loaded clip or sleeve physically grips the screw head. Snap-on has their soft grip system. These don't interfere with electronics, they don't lose their grip over time, and they're often more secure than magnets for holding small screws.
For precision work especially.
Precision work is where mechanical retention really shines. When you're dealing with tiny screws and a laptop or a pair of glasses, you need absolute control. A magnetic tip that's lost some of its strength might drop the screw at exactly the wrong moment, and finding an M2 screw in carpet is not how you want to spend your afternoon.
Alright, so we've covered the materials and the design. Let's talk about what you actually need in a kit. What are the essential screwdriver types?
I'm going to break this into two categories. Full-size drivers for general DIY and precision drivers for electronics and small work. For full-size, you need Phillips number 0, number 1, and number 2. Number 2 is the most common by far. It's what you'll use for most household screws, furniture assembly, outlet covers, that kind of thing. Number 1 shows up in smaller applications like some electronics and appliances. Number 0 is for very small screws, like the ones in eyeglasses or small toys. Flathead is less common than it used to be, but you still need them. A 3mm and a 6mm will cover most situations. Flatheads are also useful as light-duty pry tools and scrapers, which is probably why most of them get abused. Everyone's guilty. The flathead screwdriver is the most misused tool in existence. It's a paint can opener, a pry bar, a chisel, a scraper. It does all of these things badly, but it does them. Just don't use your good flatheads for that stuff. Keep a beater flathead in the drawer for abuse.
That's actually good advice. Have a sacrificial flathead.
Then there's Torx. This is the star-shaped bit that's becoming more common in electronics, appliances, and automotive applications. You want T10, T5, and T20 at minimum. Torx is actually a superior design to Phillips because it doesn't cam out by design. The star shape provides positive engagement and transfers torque more efficiently. The walls of the driver are parallel, not tapered, so there's no force pushing the driver out of the screw head.
Why hasn't Torx replaced Phillips entirely?
Phillips has been around since the 30s. There are billions of Phillips screws in the world. The tooling is everywhere. Switching standards is slow and expensive. But Torx is gaining ground, especially in applications where reliability matters. Automotive, aerospace, medical devices. If you're building something where a strip screw is not an option, you use Torx.
For precision work?
A dedicated precision set. This is where you need JIS bits, and I want to spend a moment on this because it's one of the biggest misconceptions in screwdrivers.
JIS versus Phillips. This is the one that makes people feel betrayed when they learn about it.
They look almost identical, but they're not. JIS stands for Japanese Industrial Standard. The tip angle is 57 degrees versus 55 degrees for Phillips. It's a 2-degree difference that completely changes how the driver engages with the screw. Japanese electronics, cameras, motorcycles, and appliances almost universally use JIS screws. If you use a Phillips driver on a JIS screw, it doesn't seat fully. It rides high in the head and the contact is only at the very top of the flanks.
Which means cam out.
Massive cam out. There's an estimate that using a Phillips driver on a JIS screw increases stripping risk by about 30%. And here's the thing. Most people have no idea they're doing it. They blame themselves for being clumsy. They blame the screw for being cheap. But it's the wrong tool. You could be the most careful person in the world and you'll still strip JIS screws with a Phillips driver because the geometry simply doesn't match.
How do you know if a screw is JIS?
Sometimes there's a small dimple or dot on the screw head. That's the JIS marking. But honestly, if you're working on anything Japanese, just assume it's JIS and use the right driver. Companies like Vessel in Japan make excellent JIS screwdrivers. Weiha and Wera also include JIS bits in their precision sets now. It's becoming more recognized, but there are still millions of people out there stripping screws on their Japanese motorcycles and wondering what they're doing wrong.
Let's build a hypothetical kit. Let's say someone wants to invest in a set of screwdrivers that will last them years. What are we looking at?
I'll walk through three tiers. First, let's talk about the premium manufacturers and what they're known for. Wera is the ergonomics champion. Their craft form handles are distinctive and comfortable. They also use a laser etched tip on some models that provides micro grip texture to reduce cam out. The laser etching creates tiny ridges that bite into the screw head. Wera is a great choice for a primary screwdriver set that you'll use frequently. Weiha is the precision specialist. Their machining tolerances are exceptional. If you're doing electronics work or anything that requires absolute tip precision, Weiha is hard to beat. They also make excellent insulated screwdrivers for electrical work. Their precision sets are the standard that others are measured against. If you talk to people who repair cameras or laptops for a living, they probably have Weiha drivers on their bench. Phalo is another German manufacturer, often overlooked but excellent value. Their ergonomic handles are similar in concept to Wera's, but with their own approach. Phalo tends to be slightly less expensive than Wera or Weiha while still delivering German manufacturing quality. They're the value pick in the premium category.
Then there's the high end.
These are the screwdrivers that other screwdriver companies admire. Swiss precision manufacturing, exceptional steel, extremely tight tolerances. They're expensive. A single PB Swiss driver can cost $20 to $30, but they are heirloom quality tools. People pass these down. Snap-on is the professional mechanic's choice, also expensive, but they come with a lifetime warranty that's actually honored without questions. Their truck comes to you. If you break a Snap-on screwdriver, the guy shows up at your shop and hands you a new one.
The Williams thing? You mentioned this is one of the best secrets in tools.
This is one of the best secrets in tools. Williams is a brand owned by Snap-on. Some of their screwdrivers are literally made on the same production lines as Snap-on, but sold at roughly half the price. Same steel, same heat treatment, same tip geometry. The handles are slightly different, and they're not as polished cosmetically, but the functional quality is identical. If you want Snap-on quality without the Snap-on price, Williams is the move. It's the same meal, different plating.
What about someone who can't spend $100 plus? Is there a budget option that isn't just throwing money away?
Tecton is the budget recommendation that's actually good. They make their screwdrivers in Taiwan with proper CRV steel and decent tip geometry. Their warranty is no questions asked. You send them a photo of a broken tool and they mail you a replacement. No receipt, no registration, no hassle. For someone who's just getting started or who only uses screwdrivers occasionally, Tecton is the sweet spot between price and quality.
Let's build that hypothetical kit. $150 budget. What does that actually look like?
Here's what I'd do. We're a Craftform 6-piece set for the core drivers. That's about $60 and covers Phillips 1 and 2, a couple flatheads, and a couple posi drive or additional Phillips sizes. Then a Weehaw Precision set for electronics and small work. That's about $40 and includes Phillips, flathead, Torx, and JIS bits. Then a standalone Torx set from Fellow for about $50 covering T10 through T30.
That covers basically everything a DIY person would encounter.
It covers 95% of what most people will ever need. Here's the thing. The average DIYer needs maybe 8 to 10 screwdrivers total, not a 50-piece set. Those giant sets look impressive, but they're full of redundant sizes and low-quality filler pieces. You're better off with 10 excellent drivers than 50 mediocre ones. The 50-piece set is a marketing trick. It looks like value, but it's actually just volume.
This is where we should address a misconception. The idea that all screwdrivers are basically the same, and you're just paying for the brand.
That's the one that drives me crazy. It's demonstrably false. The steel is different. The heat treatment is different. The tip geometry is different. The handle ergonomics are different. These aren't cosmetic differences. They directly affect whether the tool works or destroys your fastener. You can measure the difference. Project Farm did. 40% more torque before failure. That's not opinion. That's data.
It's like saying all knives are the same because they're all sharp metal.
And nobody who's used a good kitchen knife would ever say that. The difference between a stamped blade and a forged blade, between good steel and mystery steel, between a proper edge geometry and a poorly ground one. It's exactly the same principle applied to a different tool. And just like knives, once you've used a good one, you can't unfeel the difference.
Magnetic tips are always better.
We covered this, but it's worth repeating. Magnetic tips are convenient, but they have real downsides for electronics work. And magnets degrade. A mechanical retention system is more reliable long-term and safer for sensitive components. Don't assume magnetic is premium. It's just one approach with its own trade-offs.
The 50-piece set fallacy.
You don't need it. You'll never use half of those drivers. They'll sit in the case taking up space while the three you actually use wear out because they were the low-quality ones included to pad the piece count. Buy fewer, buy better. Your drawer will be less cluttered and your projects will go more smoothly.
With all that in mind, what should you actually buy? Let's boil it down to a few actionable rules.
Spend your money on the tips, not the handles. A screwdriver is only as good as its engagement with the screw head. You can have the most comfortable handle in the world, but if the tip is rounded and imprecise, the tool is useless. When you're comparing screwdrivers, look at the tip first. Is it sharp and symmetrical? Does it seat fully into a screw head with no wobble?
Buy a set, not individual drivers. You'll save money and you'll get consistent quality across sizes. A 6 or 8 piece set from a good manufacturer will cost significantly less than buying those same drivers individually.
The quality will be consistent across the set. When you mix and match brands, you might have a great number 2, Phillips, and a terrible number 1. Sets from reputable manufacturers are engineered as a system. The heat treatment, the tip geometry, the handle design are all consistent across the range.
Avoid multi-bit screwdrivers for heavy use. The bit retention mechanism is a failure point.
Multi-bit drivers are convenient for a glove box or a kitchen drawer. But for real work, the bit retention mechanism introduces play and wobble. The bits themselves are often lower quality than dedicated shaft drivers. And the mechanism can fail, leaving you with a bit stuck in a screw or a driver that won't hold bits anymore. I've seen the magnetic holders lose their grip, the spring-loaded collars jam, the ball detents wear down. A dedicated screwdriver has none of those failure points.
What's the actual test someone can do in a hardware store? If they're standing in the aisle looking at two screwdrivers, how do they choose?
take a screw of the appropriate size, ideally one of the same brand or type you'll be using at home, and test the fit. Insert the driver into the screw head. If it wobbles side to side, don't buy it. If it seats firmly with no play, that's a good sign. You can also look at the tip under good light. The edges should be crisp and symmetrical. If it looks rounded or rough, walk away. You don't need a microscope. Your eyes can see the difference if you know what to look for.
That's surprisingly practical.
It's the simplest quality test there is. Wobble equals wear. A screwdriver that wobbles in the screw head is already acting like a worn-out tool, even if it's brand new. You're buying pre-failed tools if you ignore the wobble test.
Before we wrap up, there's a bigger question worth asking. With the rise of electric screwdrivers and impact drivers, are manual screwdrivers going to become obsolete?
They're not, and here's why. Manual screwdrivers give you something that power tools can't. When you're driving a screw by hand, you can feel when it's seated properly, when it's cross-threading, when the material is about to strip. An impact driver can't feel those things. It just applies torque until you tell it to stop, and by the time you realize something's wrong, the damage is done.
For precision work, manual is still king.
Manual will always be king for precision work. Electronics, fine woodworking, anything with small or delicate fasteners. Power tools are for speed and volume. Manual screwdrivers are for control and feel. It's the difference between a sports car and a freight truck. Both move things, but the experience and the appropriate use case are completely different.
The technology is still evolving. You mentioned diamond-coated tips earlier.
Weha and Wera are both experimenting with diamond-coated tips for extreme wear resistance. As fasteners get smaller and materials get harder, think titanium screws in aerospace or hardened steel in medical devices, the demands on screwdriver tips increase. A diamond coating can dramatically extend the life of a precision driver by maintaining tip sharpness through thousands of cycles. It's a thin film, microns thick, but it changes the wear characteristics completely.
The humble screwdriver is still an active area of materials science research.
It really is. The basic form hasn't changed much in a century, but the materials and manufacturing precision keep improving. What you can buy today for $50 would have been considered professional-grade aerospace tooling a few decades ago. The democratization of precision manufacturing is real, and screwdrivers are a perfect example of it.
The advice is pretty straightforward. Invest in one good set, treat it as a lifetime purchase, and maybe go check your screwdriver drawer.
If you've got a drawer full of random freebie screwdrivers and hardware store impulse buys, you're probably making every project harder than it needs to be. Replace them with 8 or 10 good drivers, and you'll notice the difference immediately. The first time you drive a screw without that moment of anxiety, without that little slip, you'll understand.
You'll stop stripping screws, which is worth the price of admission right there.
The number of times I've heard someone curse a stripped screw and blame themselves. It's almost never their fault. It's the tool. Give yourself permission to blame the tool and then go buy a better one.
Now, Wilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1960s, researchers discovered a species of blind cave amphipod in the Aleutian Islands that survives by consuming the shed exoskeletons of larger cave-dwelling crustaceans, essentially living as a dietary dependent on its neighbor's garbage.
Right. This has been my Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show.
Go check your screwdriver drawer, and maybe upgrade.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.